Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 149, 2015 in review. So that's right. For all of you new and longtime listeners, first of all, I want to welcome all of you to this episode of Wargaming Recon. And I want to say that this is our year end episode. If you're not familiar with how I do things here on the show, we have a bunch of brand new content that I do. New episodes release every other week. And then when it gets near the end of the podcast season of the year, I take a few weeks off because I put that in at the same time as when Christmas comes and my birthday's right before Christmas and then the new year. So I use that time to kind of rejuvenate and prep myself so that we can be ready and get going for a brand new podcast year, new podcast season, in this case in 2016. But rather than leave you with nothing to listen to, which is what I used to do, I used to say, listen to the classic episodes and all this and that, which is great. You really should go back in our archives and listen to some of those older content. But instead of that, I take a few, in this case, two episodes from this podcast season. They're like the best of episodes. And then I will release those for while I'm out. When I'm on break, you'll have that. But this, you're not just going to hear the same thing that you already heard, because that's boring, right? What you will get is you'll get extra content. So in addition to the episode that you'll have heard before, you'll get maybe some background or a little extra insight, but you will definitely get an introduction from me that I record fresh specifically for that. And then I brand it as recast whatever. So it's recast and then the episode number of whatever it originally was. So you get that and you get that new cool content. And this kind of content normally I reserve for my Patreon backers. So anyway, that's how we'll be going moving forward. But this is 2015 in review, where I talk about some of the things that happened here on Wargaming Recon in the 2015 podcast season. I think it's nice to kind of take one of these introspective sort of chances for an episode. And I tend to plan them, really. I do a year-end one, which is this. And then I do like a looking forward, a goal-setting one I do at the beginning of the year. So for this one, I have all sorts of stuff that I want to cover, including some things that I wasn't really able to give as much time in the regular season. So I want to kick off, actually, by talking about the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon. Hopefully you had seen the live stream I done and you saw other things. If you didn't, and if you happen to not catch something that I talk about in this episode, you really only have to remember one thing, and that is the link to the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR149. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR149. That'll bring you to our show notes. It has links to all the stuff I talk about and just all sorts of other cool things. I know a lot of you like to listen to the show while you're either painting, maybe you're commuting to or from work, or you're at the gym, or you're doing other things, right? You're doing something else. You're not at your computer, so you can't be like, Jonathan talked about this. I need to go here and do that. And nobody listens to podcasts that way, right? Just nobody does that. So just remember that link to the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR149, and you'll be all set. So at the Extra Life 24-Hour Gamerthon this year, I had a goal that I wanted to raise, I think it was like $200, $250. And the money, if you're not familiar, it goes to help children's hospitals. I earmarked all the money that was raised from me and from all of you generously donated to go to Boston Children's Hospital. And I've talked about this on other episodes, but I want to talk a little bit more this time about some of the games that were played, some of the things that I had done, which I didn't really get to cover in depth. And then I also want to mention some really exciting news. The final tallies, so to speak, are available. With your very kind help, I have raised $555.33, all going to Boston Children's Hospital. It's because of kind and generous people like you. So I really couldn't do it without you. So thank you very much. You deserve a big pat on the back. This money goes to help kids who are just facing really scary, scary illnesses, things like cancer and cystic fibrosis. They might need special medical care. Maybe they need heart transplants or blood transfusions, and their families can't afford to pay for it. So instead of saying, sorry, kid, you're out of luck. We can't do this for you because your families can't pay. This charity takes the money that is raised and puts it towards that so that these kids who have these treatments that they need, they can get that medical help, and their parents and their families never, ever, ever get a medical bill. So it's all covered, which is, it's fantastic. I love that this can be done. So because of you guys, $555.33 was raised. Part of this came from that Extra Life charity auction that I had done. This model was gorgeous. It is a World War I limited edition Battle Games Combat Stress Appeal model, British Tommy Honor Guard figure. It was sculpted by Soapy from Gripping Beast fame and is painted by this just amazing listener who heads up the War Games at Battle Shades Facebook group. I'm talking about Dave. Dave, you do an amazing job with everything. This is the second time you've done it. You did it for 2014 and you did the auction yourself. And then this time Dave said, do you want me to send it to you? So he sent it across the pond to me and I did the auction, and that raised just much needed money. It was over $30 that was raised. And as I had talked about in, I think at least one episode, maybe more than one, before the charity auction and before the Extra Life 24-hour Gameathon happened, I said that I would also donate a percentage of my Patreon income from November to the charity. So I put that in. I donated half of all the money that came from contributions from Patreon backers to me in November. I donated half of all of that into the charity here. And so we're at that grand total of $555.33. I, every year, do this as part of Team Troll, which is organized and set up by Ben Gerber, who's the head honcho of Troll in the Corner, and other individuals do it. And so we all host our own gaming events prior to this to play games for 24 hours. The whole team together raised $4,952, which is amazing. I'm so excited. And the money's going to help kids in need. And, you know, I can't really think of a more worthwhile cause than that. And maybe it's because I'm a dad now. I don't know. But when you think of children and you think that there's something that they need to continue to live and they can't get, or they can't, the families can't afford it. I don't know about you, but it breaks my heart. So knowing that we can help to make a difference is really important. So thank you very much to everyone who helped out in some way. I know not everyone's able to financially contribute, but just spreading the word or interacting and listening to the episodes and watching the live stream is very, very important. And none of it is possible without you. So thank you. You're probably interested in some of the stuff that I had done, right? So this is the first year that I would be able to do this with my daughter. She was born in February. And so we played games, hardly whether or not you believe it. We were able to get out from my wife's work. It's this interactive activity. I'm going to call it a game that you can play with infants. It's a cloth or felt beehive with these really cute little cloth bees in it. And some of them shake and make noise, and some of them, you know, are crunchy and stuff like that, or some squeak. So the game is you have all these bees and you got to get them back into the beehive. And then the kid has to know that they're in the beehive because the beehive closes up and they can't see. So I play this with my daughter and she's shaking the bees and having fun, and I'm counting them with her. I'm like, this is one bee and two bees. Maybe she's really too little for that. I don't know. I hope some of it sticks. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But I don't think it's too early to kind of start some of these foundations with kids. And then it was fun to interact with her with this. And she got to play games with daddy for part of this cool thing. And she had a blast. And there's some photos, I think, that made it up into the live blog and on social media and all that kind of stuff. So you may have seen. I also played Prison Architect on my Mac. Got it via Steam. This made it into the holiday gift guide for 2015. It's just really a fantastic game to play. If you had seen the live stream, and if you haven't, it's still on YouTube, so you can get that. I'll have a link to it. It's long, and not all of it is as interesting, but you'll get to see some gameplay of Prison Architect, which is just a really fun game put out by Introversion. They're the people who did Uplink and Darwinia, and they've done DEF CON and a few other things. Really well-designed, top-down simulation kind of game, but it also really manages to get at a nice in-depth look at what prison life is like. Do you want to rehab your prisoners? Do you want to just punish them? Is there a difference in what motivates them? And you play the game and you might not think about that, but it's really cool. And when I was playing the game, I actually think for the Gamerthon, I had a prisoner on death row who I had, and their appeals were, all done, and the appeals process was like, no, they're guilty or whatever. 0% chance of them being innocent, even though they said they were. And so in the game, you get to schedule an execution for your death row prisoners. It's not something that's required by the game. It's something you opt into. You don't have to execute them. You can keep them, and the federal government sends your prison like $1,000 in-game dollars, per month or game cycle. But the idea is when the time comes, your role as a prison warden, CEO of this private prison is to move them along, is to, implement the punishment that was legally handed out to them. So for the first time, I executed a prisoner, and I tell you, I was just really sad. In whether or not you are in favor of or against the death penalty, not something I'm going to get into. And I'm not even going to say how I feel about it. And you might think since I was sad that I'm against it, that may or may not be true. But I tell you, the game really did a great job, and the developers, you can tell they put a lot of care into it. And from seeing their alpha videos, I knew that it was something they anguished over, because they didn't want people gamers killing off their prisoners in game willy-nilly. They were really concerned about people treating it like a concentration camp and going that weird way that gamers could do, be like, it's a game, it's fun, let's just kill everyone. So they wanted to make gamers stop and think about what they were doing. And it's this multi-step process that you got to do. And I mean, it's little electrons and pixels in a game that were, killed, so to speak, during the process. I'm like, this is real. This simulated person is really being killed, and I'm the one who clicked the button that made it happen. And I play war games and Total War and all that sort of stuff, and think nothing of it on the battlefield. But this struck home. And I still play the prison I played in the live stream, and I have other death row prisoners on there. They have 0% chance of being found innocent. I can't bring myself to kill these simulated people in the game. So if you do play the game, and if you opt into having death row prisoners, just be mindful that it might strike you a little harder than you might think. And I was not expecting. I was thinking, okay, this is a game, and I'm just going to click, and I'm going to free up a spot for another death row prisoner that I can get and get more money. And this is what the prison is. And I did not in any way, shape, or form expect to do it and to fail. Like, whoa, I killed someone. And that was a downer. And I'm thinking, I'm supposed to be doing games and thinking about how I'm going to be helping kids and how we're all doing a good thing. And I killed someone. So I was like, well, nope, we're playing something else now. Moving away. So after that, I needed something a little more optimistic. And I played Kerbal Space Program, which is a game I've talked about a little bit. It's very, very interesting. If you're into space exploration and science, I think you're going to get more out of it. A thoroughly steep learning curve. I like the game. I'm still, confused by it. And I think part of it is I play it on my MacBook Pro, so I don't have a mouse plugged in, and that makes it a little harder. You can see some great videos, though, on YouTube, should you have the desire. I play Tropico 5. Tropico is a game series that I've talked about before on the show. Tropico 5 is really, and I've used the word really a lot this episode, but it is interesting in a lot of ways, because you start off in the colonial period and you work your way up. It's hard to stay in power, exceedingly difficult, to the point that there's always a military coup, there's always rebels coming up, or superpowers trying to take over, or you're going to lose an election no matter how good you are. I have a much harder time staying in power as a dictator of my little Caribbean island nation than I had expected and than I ever had in any of the previous editions. It's good, though, to be challenged this way, and I'm not sure if there's a way to temper it a little bit. I have it on an easier setting, but maybe it's possible for me to still have it on an easier setting, because one of the things I enjoy about this, not so much about being elected and staying in power and so forth, but about building and constructing things, kind of like why I like SimCity. You're constructing your city, and this, you're constructing your nation and controlling that sort of stuff more than the political aspects of it. Although I love a good political game, which is why I love the political machine, this is a little different. Really good game, though, and I do highly recommend it. Then I played Ultimate General Gettysburg. This is one of those games that you may not remember, and you might not even be aware if you weren't living in the U.S., but at one time in 2015, there was a big hubbub about anyone and anything wanted to fly the battle flag of the Army of Northern Virginia from the American Civil War, or the War Between the States, or the War of Northern Aggression, depending on where you live. I live in the North. I'm going to call it the American Civil War. I was born in Virginia. I'm still going to call it the American Civil War. So the battle flag, or what's commonly known as the rebel flag, or the flag of the rebels, not, you know, entirely accurate. So there was an act of violence, terrible, terrible situation. A lot of people were killed. It seems to perhaps have been racially motivated. So there was this backlash about anyone, like, why would you fly the Confederate flag and why would you buy it online? So Amazon withdrew it. You couldn't buy that flag. And I have relatives in the Midwest and in the South, and it's a thing. They have it. They're not trying to say, like, we hate black people, we hate whatever. It's just, it's part of the culture and society. But it's also in games, and not games that are glorifying a particular motivation, so to speak. A game like Ultimate General Gettysburg has it, because you know what? It depicts the Battle of Gettysburg, and units flew the flag. It's historical accuracy, something we strive for, or I thought we did in a nice educated society. Apple pulled the game. Amazon pulled the game. You couldn't get it on Steam. You couldn't get it anywhere. I happened to had purchased it beforehand, before it was pulled from everywhere, and I would say stupidly so. I don't know about you, but I complained to Amazon. I was like, it's a historical game. People use it to teach history. Anyway, soapbox. So I played the game. It's great. You can actually get it again. It's on goodoldgamesgog.com. I think they have it on sale right now, but you can pick it up from there. It's a lot of fun. If you ever played like Sid Meier's Gettysburg or Sid Meier's Antietam, kind of reminds me of that to a degree. It's really well done. A lot of fun. And then I also did a live stream. I live streamed some of this stuff, but then I did a different type of live stream. I'm saying different, but I mean, it's not like these different variations of live stream, but a section of the live stream depicted me painting. And if you're watching this live, you're seeing me looking around to see if I have it, and I don't. But I painted for the first time in who knows how many years an actual model. I painted a Flames of War objective marker. It's a fuel dump. I have one that I painted years ago. I spent way too long painting, and then I painted this. I'm calling it done, but it's not done, right? There's always more you can do. I enjoyed it. I did not expect to enjoy painting, and I do not think I'm a good painter by any stretch of the imagination. Just about as awful as you can be, despite my numerous years of needing to paint stuff. And one of the reasons why I don't paint it is I tend to not enjoy it. I don't have a dedicated space, and even if I did, I might not use it depending on what this dedicated space looked like. Just painting takes so long for me, but I painted this and I had fun and I was like, wow, that's enjoyable. Maybe, who knows? So let's move on and talk a little bit about some of the highlights from 2015, because that's Extra Life in a nutshell. Played games for 24 hours. It was a lot of fun. That live stream, I think I live streamed for like 4 or 5 hours or so. And I kept on coming back to these games to play. Prison Architect is an addicting game. I played like 180 hours of Prison Architect, almost 200 hours of it. It's so much fun. I play it all the time. It's a good game that you can play, you can get into, and then you can step away from. So I had done that. Normally I would play more tabletop games. This year it was a little different. I wanted to do the live stream, and then with the baby, I wasn't able to have people over. Not in the usual way anyway. And besides the baby, she was my people over, so to speak. So we got to do that sort of stuff, and it was a lot of fun, just different from previous years. So no X-Wing, no historical miniatures or any of that kind of stuff. I tried to capture the miniature feel by doing that painting segment, which was a lot of fun. I'd like to do more of it, I think. Just need an appropriate setup, because I was using the webcam. If you ever watch videos of me from when I record this, or if you watch this live, I'm using a really cool high-def webcam, and I thought, oh, I can use a webcam and get away with it. Not really. I think I need to use something else. Some people have recommended, I belong to some fish keeping groups, which I know you think in tangent, right? I like to keep fish, and I have them down in the Wargaming Recon Central where I can play tabletop games. Going to have a new tank set up in the living room. But anyway, some people take really cool videos using their iPhones. Good camera and everything. So I have my iPhone. My problem is I don't have much space on it. My wife has one with like, she's maxed out. We both have 5S's. She's maxed out on space. She got as much as you could. And when I got mine as a gift, so it's like the lower amount of space, and I really could use max. So I almost have no space, which is a problem when you record video, especially with the iPad, with the iPhone, it records in high def, or pretty close to it. But a while ago, I had picked up a really cool GorillaPod. It has many points of articulation, so you can wrap it around a tree branch. But it's a tripod, basically, for the iPhone or an iPod Touch, and you can put that in so I can stand it. And then I got a cool, what's it called? An Amar2 BRS. So all it is, it's a Bluetooth device, and you can put it in your pocket or whatever, and you turn it on, and then there's a big button in the middle that when you press, it's intended for people who want to use their phones to take photos. Some people get selfie sticks. You will never see me with one of those because I think that's stupid. And I don't understand the craze with taking selfies anyway. You can get one of these, right? And if you have your iPhone open to the Photos app and you click on video because you can take video. So I put it in the GorillaPod. I get it set up to whatever I want. And I set it on video and have it aimed and everything. I can then have the cool little Mar2 BRS in my pocket. It's turned on. And I press a button and go boop. And it'll start recording. So I can record myself. Or I could record something I'm painting. Then I can go boop and press the button again. It's done. And then I just transfer it to my computer so I can do things like in iMovie or something like that. Something basic. Not really anything extensive and nothing I'm going to call real editing. Just a little sprucing up and maybe recording a separate audio track with a better mic. So I could do that. Of course, the problem is space. The people at WSNS, War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy, do these amazing painting videos. Christy over there, first of all, she's beyond talented. I only wish I could paint like 10% as good as she does. She's something to behold, just simply amazing. And so she does these great YouTube videos. I asked her once what she uses. They use an actual dedicated, inexpensive digital camera, and they get a big tripod, but then they do something right on the desk. So next time I could take my GorillaPod because it's small enough and set it on the desk and angle it down. So that's recording. The problem is I don't really think I can. Not really. I know that I can't use that to live stream. So should I want to live stream, I'd have to do something different. I'd have to do it with the webcam or something, which is not ideal. So this would be great for pre-recorded things that I would then load up or time lapse or something. No one wants to watch me paint for like 3 hours. I don't want to paint for 3 hours. That's a long time. And for me, boring, which is why people listen to podcasts, right? So it's just some of the stuff on there. Let's get back to the highlights because I got on this tangent. I like to normally in this episode, I try to talk about the top 10 episodes and stats and numbers, and that can be a little boring. Plus, it's not 100% accurate because this is a new episode as part of the podcast season, so stats go into that. Maybe this will be the most popular episode of the season. I don't know. And then there's the two recast episodes, the two best of episodes that I released. They're part of it too, so I don't want to exclude them. I will briefly at this moment just talk a little bit about numbers. Actually, do you know what? I lie. I'm going to leave numbers off for a little bit. I'm just looking at my little brainstorm checklist of things I want to talk about. Let's talk about some other highlights, some of the episodes that stood out for me, some of the things that happened that I think are really cool. I happen to have 4 episodes that I want to highlight that for me were just particularly amazing. These may or may not be candidates for best of episodes that will come out at the end of this podcast season. So just because I'm mentioning something here doesn't mean that it will be one of those. It also doesn't mean that it won't be. I want to say that now in case you think I'm revealing inside info, which I haven't made my determination yet on what those 2 episodes will be. I really enjoyed episode 131. That's where I talked about kickstarting a brand new magazine, Ancient History Magazine. Some of the kind folks over at Current Sideway Publishers came on. Yasuo Ortiz and Joshua Browers came on, talked about this, talked about the Kickstarter project. Yasuo, of course, is editor, managing editor of publications over there. And Yasuo is co-editor for Ancient History, and he's an editor for Ancient Warfare magazine. And so they just talked about the stuff, and it was just enjoyable to see what they had to say and to share that with all of you. And then also to finally get the magazine. I'm still waiting for my other thing for my pledge because I'm supposed to get a book, which I haven't gotten yet. I'm hoping it's on its way. I mean, it has to come from the Netherlands to the U.S. And this time of year with shipping and everything, I'm sure it's taken a while. So I know that'll be on its way. Just, it was cool to see that. And maybe I'll talk more about this at a later date. Maybe I won't. I don't know. The episode was great and it was really good to get to have new people on the show. I enjoy having familiar guests, have this rapport with them. And I think you look forward to them too, I think. I know people have sent me messages saying, oh, I really like when so-and-so is on, or is this person going to come on? I enjoyed when they were on before and that sort of thing. So I enjoy when I can have repeat guests and when it makes sense to do so. I also like when I get to meet someone new and have them on. So it was very enjoyable to talk about Ancient History Magazine and to see how the first issue got kickstarted this way. Kickstarter gets a lot of bad press, and some of it, I would say, is well-earned. I've read about some stuff lately, and dang, it's like, come on, terrible, terrible con kind of stories. There's also a lot of good. This is part of the good, the great that can happen to Kickstarter. So I enjoy this episode. I thoroughly enjoyed episode 136. That's when I recorded live from Huzzah 2016. I had my buddy Adrian on. It was a blast talking about the games that we played, the stuff that existed at Huzzah. We were in one of the side conference rooms. It was just us and someone else who was there, and we recorded, and it was a lot of fun. I don't often get to record in person. I'm not actually set up for that. I don't have, you know, the correct mixer and all the cool mics that work with that and everything. I work best recording from afar because I can use the internet to do it through like the Google Hangout or Skype or something like that. In person's tricky for me. That might seem counterintuitive. So being able to do it this time was, I liked it a lot. It was very handy. And to do it from Huzzah, it was my first time back to Huzzah in a few years. I love Huzzah. Huzzah is an amazing convention. And I'm not just saying that because they, through the MHWA sponsor, Wargaming Recon, they're one of the sponsors. Huzzah is a great historical gaming convention. A lot to do. And Portland's an amazing city, Portland, Maine. I love it up there. It's a great place to go and good time of year, and South Portland's amazing. The hotel was really good. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to be back there. A lot of fun to be there with my wife and with the baby. So it was cool to do all of this. This episode 136 is special to me for a variety of reasons. If you haven't heard it, I hope you will give it a listen. There'll be a link in the show notes. And if you hadn't heard it, maybe give it another listen. There might be stuff that you missed, and I will be at Huzzah in 2016. I'll do another live recording there, probably with Adrian, my buddy Adrian, on the episode. So that should be good. We'll talk about what's going on there and things that we've done and everything. Should be a lot of fun. I can't say enough great things about episode 143. And not the episode per se, but about what I discuss in it, which is Leadbeer's Scenic Tufts. Made it onto the holiday gift guide. I think it's my favorite gaming product that I've come across in all my years. It's changed my gaming life, which is kind of a silly thing to say. It has, though. It honestly, 110% has. Just amazing product. It helps charity. It does all sorts of really cool stuff. Easy to use and affordable. And talking with Barry, the Mr. Leadbeer himself, after the fact, it was cool to hear about things. And people love this episode. I enjoyed doing it. And I recorded live, and I had some crazy happenstances and things spilled. And I tried showing people stuff, and it was like, look at this, and look at this compared to the tufts that you get from here and from Statograss, and Statograss spilled all over my computer. That was messy to clean up, but it was worth it. It was absolutely worth it. Great product. I love talking about it. So that absolutely makes my list. And then episode 145, Mailbag Listener Mail. I wasn't entirely sure if it made sense at the time to do a mailbag episode, because I tend to equate those with those flashback episodes on TV shows. They get locked in a freezer, or they're stuck in the mall, or something. It's some stupid, unbelievable, random happenstance. And instead of doing something interesting, because in my opinion, they don't have any content, they're like, remember when such and such happens? And then they do clips from all the rest of the season. I tend to think of mailbag episodes as that. For me, they're the flashback clip episode of podcasting, and it usually drives me crazy. So I honestly swore way, way back that I would never do it. It made sense this time. There have been feedback and questions from people about stuff, and the mailbag section of every episode, I have this so I can share stuff. I don't want it to be the episode. I want to talk about other stuff. There's only so many episodes per season, per year, and there's all these other things I don't want to cover, so I can't give like 40 minutes or 30 minutes or even 20 minutes to a mailbag section. Having that segment be even 15 minutes can be too long. 5 minutes maybe. 10 at the absolute most, but 5 minutes is probably ideal. That means there's a lot of things I don't get to cover, a lot of things that might have to wait, and a lot of things that I don't get to respond to in the depth that they deserve. this mailbag episode allowed me to do all that, because it was a whole episode devoted to feedback and questions and comments so that I really could take the time to sit here and talk to you and answer your questions and explain things in more depth than I could ever do in a normal episode that wasn't devoted to that. I love being able to do that with everyone and to share some of this kind of stuff. So I hope to be able to do it again in the future. I'm not saying it's going to happen every year. Maybe it will. I haven't made up my mind about it. I do want to do it again. I think there's a lot of value, both for me and for you, to having that and to being able to have that extra access to me through that. I love hearing from everyone. Your feedback and emails and comments are my favorite part of the show. I love communicating with listeners, and I get to do that through Patreon too. I'll talk more about that a little bit later in the show when I talk about Patreon. But not everyone is a Patreon backer. Not everyone wants to, and that's okay. So I don't want to hide everything behind a paywall. I want to have stuff really available for you, which is how I can do it through that mailbag section of a episode. And also if I do a mailbag show, which is kind of cool. One of the goals that I've set for myself ages ago is something that I've been able to do continually with your very kind help. And it's something that I consider a highlight and that I'm proud of. And that is being able to make a difference. This year we raised a heap of money for kids in need, so they can get that medical care that they need. And it's very, very important to me that we're able to continue to do good through the show, that I'm able to do good through War Gaming Recon. And I use that term as it's meant to be used, good, not well. People say, how are you today? Oh, I'm good. You mean you're well. And no one nitpicks about that because we don't want to be just jerks. But I want to do good. I want to use the show to do good and to make a difference. It's very important to me to make the world a little bit better than I found it. And I think we all, to some degree, kind of feel that way. And being able to do that to help these kids in need is just, it's fantastic. And I said it at the beginning of the show, and I'll say it again, can't happen without the kind support and generosity of people like you. So thank you. And every year, we're able to just make a big difference. And I love it. I love being able to help out in this way, and that we can do it as a community. It's fantastic. And again, it's because of people like you. So this is a highlight for me. And one other highlight that I am just over the moon about, way back on, what was it, episode 129, was it? I announced the birth of my daughter Catherine, and I promised that I would do my best to maintain the quality of the show so that you weren't getting crap. I don't want to just put out an episode because, oh, I have to. I want it to be worth listening to have stuff that is worth your time. And I also wanted to be able to continue to release on that schedule of twice a month, every other week. Sometimes it's three times a month, sometimes it's, you know, whatever. But every other week, it can be hard to do. And I honestly wasn't sure how long I could hold on to doing it, because I'm like, the baby, and she needs this and that, and I work and all sorts of other stuff. But I was dedicated to trying and doing my best to make it happen. And I am just so delighted that I've been able to, and I believe I will continue to be able to for quite a while. So I'm looking forward to another season with everyone in 2016 and doing stuff. And I'm really happy that I've been able to do all of this. And I feel like I've not only maintained the quality of the show, but maybe even ramped it up a little bit. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about all of this. So please, these are all things that you can use to send feedback. I'll cover feedback near the end of the show, but you can, you know, email and on Facebook and on Twitter or Patreon, whatever. Just it's something I really want to make sure that I continue to do. And then another highlight for me is some changes with Patreon that I started using Patreon because I thought, oh, maybe someone will sign up for like a dollar an episode and sign up to do something. And you know, even if I only get a buck out of this for a whole year, that's a dollar I didn't have before and help defray costs. It's cool. Patreon's been really good to me and the backers have been amazing. And I wanted to make sure that I would be amazing back. I like to give more than I receive. So that's why I added new backer levels, and I'm excited about for the measuring tape, War Gaming Recon measuring tape, and for the postcards that I would send out once a month. I already sent one out. I did a first batch. I'm going to have another batch coming out for December backers. So some things with that. And I've decided that I want to make some more alterations to how I handle Patreon. I have already done some video that I released just to my Patreon backers. And that's something I want to do a little more of. I do a behind the scenes sort of thing every time a new episode comes out, where I share thoughts or whatever, audio and all sorts of stuff. want to do maybe a little more video and a little more of that extra stuff so that it'll actually come out for behind the scenes. And I also want to make it a little bit easier. I back right now one other Patreon person. He was on the show, Josh Shoebridge. He has his own tabletop gaming podcast in Australia called The Hobby Desk. So I am a backer of his Patreon, and I suggest you do the same. I'll have a link to him. And I realized when I look at Patreon projects, for lack of a better word, I like when I know what I'm going to, what it's going to cost me in a given time. I want to contribute. I want to help out, but I'm concerned, one, about transparency and about making sure that everyone knows what they're getting into, which I guess is really transparency again. So I will be moving away from backers contributing on a per episode basis, and I'll be moving to the monthly contributory method. This will happen January 2016, beginning of the year. I figure it makes sense then. There'll be an adjustment in what the backer level cost will be. So for example, right now, if you pay $3 an episode, I thank you by name in every episode in which you back for that, right? And that seems pretty straightforward. So if I release 2 episodes a month, which I do, you give $6. If I release 1 episode a month, 30 episodes, you give a lot more than that. And although I say my goal is I release 2 episodes a month every other week, I might go on a kick and say, this week I'm going to release 1 episode a day. And you might not be expecting that. There's no transparency about that beforehand. And if I was good, I would notify people in advance and say, I'm going to do this. And if I wasn't, then, or if I didn't have the time, which can easily happen, I would just do. So I wanted to avoid that and to make it more transparent, both for people to see what it's going to cost them, what's expected of me, what I'm going to give, and what's going to happen. And on top of that, for backers to really understand that they're giving X dollars, but what I get out of those X dollars, I don't get 100% of it. Patreon has to get money. I get like 87 cents on the dollar, which I'm ecstatic for. But people might not fully understand this. So Patreon's doing a change where backers will see that although they pledge, say, $3, that the Patreon creator, i.e. me, that Jonathan gets X amount of that. So I will be adjusting the backer levels so that they're basically an average. That for some levels, they'll be doubled. So like $3 might become $6 or $7, but it'll be whatever the average is. Some levels will go up a lot. Some won't go up at all. It depends on how it is. So I'm going to try to average that out, and that the new amounts will be announced in an upcoming episode. They'll be on social media and everything, but that won't happen until January 1st. So I want to make sure that that gets out. I think it's just easy to budget that, you know, both for you and for me, that you know this is what it's going to cost you. And with Patreon, you can cancel at any time. There's no commitment. There's no extra fees or whatever. You can say, I want to support for $3. And then if you're like, well, I can't anymore, you can stop. And then you can start up again, or you can alter. Some people like to raise pledges at different times, lower at others. That's perfectly fine. That's cool. So these things will be happening. And I think by doing this on a monthly contributory basis instead of per episode, I'm also going to save backers some money, I think. So I'm looking forward to that too, and hopefully be able to grow the number of backers that more of you maybe might say, oh, I'd like to do that, but although he usually does 2 episodes a month, I don't really know if he will. This way, you know, oh, it's going to cost me $5 for the month. I can do $5. I'll do $5. And next month I cancel, I'll lower my pledge, or I'll stop it or whatever. And I think it's going to work out for that. So just some changes there. And then I want to mention that I got this cool milestone. I talked about briefly that I was going to talk a little bit about stats. That I normally do in this episode and this episode, you know, in the past, but that this episode I wasn't, except for a little bit. We are 535 listeners away from reaching a really cool milestone, 30,000 listeners for the year. It'll be the first time, if this happens, that we will reach 30,000 people cumulatively. If we reach that goal of 30,000 listeners for the year, I'm going to make a donation to a charity, as I promised in the past. We're 535 people away, 535 listeners away. So, you know, I need you is really what I'm trying to say. Hey, maybe this episode you haven't heard from this year, give them a listen. Tell a friend about the show. Suggest that they listen to a certain episode you enjoyed. And the more people who tune in and who listen, the more those listeners count. And if that count reaches the 30,000, I make that donation. The charity gets a little financial help, and I'm hoping we can do this, but I need you. Me listening to the show, first of all, is just silly. But second of all, it doesn't help because it doesn't raise the numbers. The numbers only count for new listens. So you can't listen to an episode five times and have the numbers go up five. You listen to it five, it still counts one. So you need all your buddies and friends to do it too. Now let's move to mailbag. So from the web, Jack Sarge's Wargames Ramblings blog, which I'll have a link to in the show notes, says, quote, "Jonathan is very enthusiastic about his subject. I especially enjoy it when he has Henry Hyde on the show. So first of all, I want to thank you for your kind feedback. I want to say Henry will be on in 2016. That's a woo, right? I'm excited. And also I know that Jack Sarge has backed the Miniature Wargaming Kickstarter project documentary because of hearing it on the show, and he's not the only one, so I'm excited about that. I love when we can see that happen. And then I want to just give another thanks to Earth Station One for airing the promo for Wargaming Recon. That is greatly appreciated. Want to remind everyone, some announcements. I mentioned that our sponsor, MHWA, that's the Maine Historical Wargamers Association, a fantastic group of people, very caring and helpful and knowledgeable and just a lot of fun to play games with. They sponsor the show and help to keep me on the air. Couldn't do it without them. Bills come in and they need to be paid for stuff. Equipment and games, I don't get free stuff. I pay for what I talk about on the show. If I get something as a reviewed copy or whatever, I say that, but 99.9999% of the time, it comes out of my pocket and the money's not there anymore, as I've talked about, because of my wife's new job and the lower income and then of course with the baby and stuff. Sponsors are important. Patreon's important. Couldn't do it without the generous support of the people over at MHWA. They put on Huzzah, which in my opinion is one of the best historical wargaming conventions around. Definitely one of the best in New England. I'll be there May 13th through the 16th, 2015. We're going to do a live recording. I'll play some games and all sorts of cool stuff. You can watch the show live. I record live for every episode that I can, which is like all of them. So you can watch it live. I usually send out links in social media. There's a live page and all this sort of stuff. I want to thank those of you who support me on Patreon. So Dave and the Wargames at Battleshades Facebook group and Jamie at Drake Pole Dragon on Twitter. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And as I said, there will be some changes to Patreon coming in January. My backers have been made aware of it beforehand. But if you are considering becoming one, please do. There'll still be accessible levels and everything. And just a nice way to say thank you, I think. And also if you get any value from the show, if you find me entertaining, enjoyable, you like what I talk about, you like my guests, maybe you can throw a few bucks my way to help out. This is the final new episode of 2015. I'll have two best of episodes coming out December 21st, 2015 and January 4th, 2016. They'll have extra content in them. I'll do like an intro or something, as I said. And, just to kind of give you an idea, actually, I keep stats on a bunch of things. I try not to check often because I'm more interested not in I have 5,000 listeners for this, or I have 200 for that. I'm looking for trends. What are you guys interested in hearing about? Who do you want on? That sort of stuff. So I can give you the content that you want. But it's nice to look at numbers. As I said, we're 535 people, listeners away from the 30,000 mark. But things have grown all over the place. On average, 1,339 of you listen to every episode. I'm flabbergasted by that. Thank you. From 2014, our top 10 episodes, which are the top 10 most popular episodes, as gauged by how many people listen to them, they've gone up. There's 2,107 people more compared to last year who listened to the top 10, which I think is pretty amazing. Almost 16,500 people have listened to the top 10s. And when you look at the top 10 episodes, and there's been a shift from past years. In past years, the top 10 episodes tend to focus or have guests in them predominantly. For this year, I'm looking right now and I see we have our top 10 episodes and episodes 1 through 4 have no guests. I'm talking about conventions in 3 of them. And then we got 1, 2, 3, 4 episodes with a guest. 40% of the top 10 have guests compared to before. I think that's amazing and interesting. And I'm also having multiple guests in episodes. It's clear to me that these are things that you enjoy and I'm going to try to continue to do that because I want to give you what you want to hear. And just it's really cool. And I mean, the number one episode so far overall, I'm a little surprised by that people like it so much. It's 5 tips to pick the right games to play at a convention. Almost 2,200 of you have listened to that. That's awesome. So as I said, the numbers aren't the end all. It's the community. And I like seeing the trends for what the community wants to hear. But numbers can be kind of cool to look at from time to time. So that's it with numbers and statistics. I want to just thank everyone very much for taking the time to listen to this episode of Wargaming Recon, for supporting me, whether it's on Patreon or talking about the show or with the sponsorship, just listening to the show and engaging with me. Send me your feedback. I love feedback. Even though I'm going for that break before the new season, I want your feedback. Send it to me. Yeah, I'd love to get it. You can get to me on Facebook, wargamingrecon.com/Facebook, on Twitter, wargamingrecon.com/tweet. You can email me, jonathan@wargamingrecon.com. You can post a comment to the show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR149. I see all this stuff. I get it all. I can respond any of those ways. So that's what I got for everyone. Thank you for a great podcast season. I'll have those two best of episodes coming out. But this is the final new, so to speak, or 100% new episode for 2015. So just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmakah, whatever you celebrate. I send you my warm tidings. And I'm looking forward to my birthday on December 22nd, my first one with my baby girl. Be a lot of fun. And I'm also looking forward to Star Wars. In case people don't know, I'm a huge Star Wars fanatic. My wife has told me already that my birthday gift is we're going to go see the new Star Wars movie going on the 18th, which is like the first day, real day that it's, you know, here in the U.S. So we're going earlier in the day. I'm looking forward to it. I'm so giddy and excited. And I love Star Wars probably more than just about anything else around. Star Wars is amazing and incredibly important to me. It may or may not be to you. I don't know. We all have things about which we are passionate. Star Wars is one of my passions. So I'm looking forward to that. And we'll see what else happens in this year. And I'm sure there'll be lots of cool things that I want to talk about in 2016 and things that you're going to want to talk about. So please do get in touch with me. I look forward to that. And I'll be in touch with people through social media and everything. So please follow me on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm more active on Facebook than on Twitter, but I try to use both. So you see photos and all sorts of stuff going on there. So be sure to check that out. And if you missed episodes from this season, don't worry. You can go to the episode guide. Episode guide is great for a variety of things. I reveal topics for upcoming shows, guests. I tell you when the episode's going to come out, a title, that sort of stuff. You can click on the names and it brings you to the episode, which is probably what you might want if you missed an episode. It lists everything for the year and then there's links to previous years. You just click on it, then you can get to the episode and you can give it a listen or download it. If you subscribe in iTunes, which is great, you can get the content automatically, whether it's on your device or on your computer. I mean, there's great apps for your smartphones and tablets and things. I love Pocket Cast, which is a great one. It's not free. It's like $1.99. I get a link in the show notes that you can get. Subscribe there and you get all the content. It comes automatically, which is, it's cool. Effortless is what I like. So you can do all of that. And that's all I got. So as always, it's been a pleasure and thank you so much. So no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, how many highlights you've had for your year, or what's coming up in your new year, remember, you have to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Cast, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
You're a wargamer and want to know what to do when you're an Australian wargamer, then you need to tune in to the Hobby Desk for Australian wargamers. This is a member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network, and we're here to give you the best possible things that Australian wargamers can give to you, the listeners. And I hope you enjoy what we do, because guess what? It's coming more and more often and more awesome for you who listen to the Hobby Desk on the Troll in the Corner podcast network.
This is Andreas, apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 13th to the 15th, 2016 at the Doubletree Inn in Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming in New England at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.